Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Karen Solomon. Karen is the author of several books, including Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It, and Other Cooking Projects, Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It, and Other Kitchen Projects, and her latest book, Asian Pickles, Sweet, Sour, Salty, Cured, and Fermented Preserves. She's a food and lifestyle writer based in San Francisco. Karen, how did you get involved in cooking in the first place?
Well, you got to eat, right?
That's
true. I mean, cooking in general, I think everybody does it to some level, even people who say they don't cook. But if you want to eat, you have to cook. But I guess I got started specifically into this realm, into thinking about food preservation. I was inspired by my now deceased mother-in-law. The first time I went home with my husband 20 years or so ago, we sat down to dinner and I was eating her salad. And I thought, oh my God, this salad is so delicious. You know, it's a bowl of lettuce. Why is your salad so unbelievably delicious? And Josephine told me, oh, I make my own salad dressing. And I swear it was that really flipped a switch for me, because hitherto I had never known you could make your own salad dressing. That to me, salad dressing, as I grew up, was, you know, 15 bottles lined up in the refrigerator door from Seven Seas and Wishbone and all that stuff. So just the thought that you could make your own dressing felt very foreign, but also felt very empowering. And also after tasting it, it made me realize how delicious it can be to make some of your own foodstuffs that you usually just kind of, you know, grab from the middle of the grocery store. That was really, I always give her credit because, you know, Josephine really got me started on this path.
Huh. And, you know, salad dressing is kind of one of those interesting things. My husband and I kind of go back and forth on that because he's always like, he buys his bottled salad dressing. And I am so much more into putting the salad dressing together. I'm, you know, for one thing, it's so much less expensive to do that. And you can really make it, personalize it, like you were saying, adding things that are going to really bump it up and make it so much better than those kind of herby things that the herbs have been sitting on the shelf for like a million years.
Right.
So it's so much more flavorful.
So much more flavorful. And also your homemade dressing. I mean, I don't know about in your kitchen, but I don't add a lot of xanthan gum or carrageenan or, you know, I use good olive oil. I don't use, you know, kind of low-grade soybean oil. And all those ingredients plague the stuff on the shelf. But that said, in all fairness, I think it should be known, I'm not preachy about this stuff. Uh-huh. I'm a working parent, and so I do have a couple of bottles of store-bought stuff in my fridge as well. There are, you know, a couple of good ones, but I definitely prefer to make my own, absolutely.
I think one of the things, too, that I talk to people about when they ask about buying ingredients is buying the best ingredients that you can afford and having that control over what ingredients go into your items. Like you were saying, buying that best olive oil for that purpose where you're really going to taste it and really making those decisions well.
Definitely. In our house, I have a lot of, like I will buy multiple grades of items. So, you know, for example, if I know I'm going to eat a fried egg, that's my really good $12 a dozen, because yes, that's what we pay in San Francisco. $12 a dozen for the really, really good, delicious, nutritious eggs. If I'm baking a cake, as much as I would love to use those eggs, just simply for a matter of economy, I'm going to use still not the lowest grade quality eggs, but like a lesser quality egg. Uh-huh. And same with olive oil, same with butter. You know, I have the stuff when I'm really going to taste it, I want it to be the very best quality that we can have. But if I'm going to be, you know, sort of incorporating it into other things and it's going to get masked, it would be silly to, you know, it's like making a hamburger from a filet mignon. There's no, just not the best showcase to spotlight those ingredients.
Now, how has living in San Francisco kind of, in the culture of San Francisco, influenced your exploration of flavors?
Oh, my goodness. I feel so fortunate. I really do. I mean, I don't think I would be the food writer I am without being connected to San Francisco. We have a tremendously diverse culture here. You know, there's a huge Latin influence here in the cities, and I live in the Mission District, which has a ton of flavors and foods and cultural aspects of Mexico and El Salvador and Honduras. I mean, all that is here, and that's wonderful. And, of course, there's the whole Asian continent to which I'm particularly drawn as well. I lived there for a while, and I was thrilled that when I moved to San Francisco, you know, I could still go to Japantown and get many of the same foods and ingredients and cultural experiences. But, of course, you know, we also have a great amount of Korean representation and, of course, flavors from many, many different regions of China, Thai, Lao, Vietnamese. I mean, I feel very, very fortunate here to have so many options.
What do your friends think about your food experiments? I mean, do they end up being your tasters? I'm wondering.
They do, absolutely. I mean, when I'm working on a book, as people come in and out of the house, I'll have them taste stuff, but I always work with professional recipe testers as well, you know, to make sure that the recipes are up to snuff. But I definitely, there are a few people, my brother and some other friends as well, who when they come over, they say, all right, give me a pickle tasting. And they stand at the kitchen counter, and I open up the fridge, and I just start opening jars, and, you know, one after the other. And, well, this one I made a while ago. I don't know if it's still good. Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Or this one I made, I didn't like it then, but I think I like it more now, you know, like that sort of thing. And it's always a lot of fun because there's a lot of jars in my fridge. There's a lot.
I have the same problem. And it's so nice when people appreciate it. We're kind of tired of looking at them, you know, in our house. But when people mm-hmm. come over and you can give them the taste of a preserved lemon or some sauerkraut or something that's really crunchy and, you know, see the expression on their face, it's just so, it makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And I have two young kids as well. They're 10 and 7. And I cannot tell you how my heart swells with pride when they fight over who gets to drink the sauerkraut juice at the end of the jar. I mean, like nothing makes a mama smile like that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I really like about your books, I have to say, is I have bought recipe books where they have really pretty pictures in them. But when you start to make the recipe, you realize that the person who wrote the book never made the recipe.
Oh,
and
I know.
Your recipes come out looking exactly like the picture on the book. And then, you know, you can tell that you've walked through the steps so that you know what's going to happen at various steps throughout the process. So you can kind of save people before they go, is this right? Is this going in the right direction?
You are so kind. Honestly, I'm wiping the sweat from my brow to hear you say that, because that is a huge pet peeve for me. I really dislike when a recipe doesn't come out the way you expect it to.
Yeah.
And also when the steps kind of leave you hanging.
Yeah.
And I feel like usability in a recipe is at least as important, dare I say, more important than the end result. You're giving people instructions. You're inviting them into your kitchen and into your brain to make this thing that you've decided is worth making. And if you can't convey that information accurately in a recipe, then what's the point? You could be the greatest cook in the world, but if you can't tell anybody else how to do it, you know, then I feel like you're doing a disservice to your reader.
I know. You know, speaking of inviting you into your brain, I feel like right when I have the question, you answer it. And you do it with such a sense of humor. It just makes me laugh out loud. It's like you came into my brain and went, yeah, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, you're really thinking, is this worth doing this, you know, or is this really the next step?
You know, when I was a kid, I was really into drama and theater. And I feel like, in a way, I feel like it's like getting into a character is very much like getting into the mind of your home cook. I always write for the people who, like, you know, sure, they can boil water and make toast, but maybe they need a little extra guidance beyond that. That's always my favorite audience to target, is the beginning crowd, because I cannot tell you how much personal pleasure I receive in teaching people and enlightening people, I feel like, or evangelizing for people that you can preserve food, that you can stock your shelves, that you can stock your pantry, you know, that you can do this yourself at home.
And better
and better for you and yes. better for the planet and better for your wallet and better flavor in the end. You know, going back to what we were talking about before, you know, growing up, salad dressing was a thing that came in a bottle. Like it was, I had no notion that could be something that you make on your own. That's what I love about my work the most.
Well, Karen, this has been really fun talking to you about preserving food, but I want to come back next week and let's talk about those Asian pickles.
Ooh, I would love that. Thank you, Jen.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on. Come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.